are Locked On 49ers, your daily San Francisco 49ers podcast. Part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
Welcome to Locked On 49ers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Brian Peacock here with you once again. It is a Tuesday, and we will be joined by Mr. Nick Winkler momentarily for our Twinkie Tuesday, our weekly wink. Still working on a name. We got a new one, actually. I'm going to drop on Nick and see if he likes it. It was suggested by somebody on Twitter. I got to try to find out who that was on Twitter. But don't forget to subscribe, rate, review the podcast. We're on iTunes. We're on Spotify. We are everywhere. You can find me on Twitter at BD Peacock. You can email the podcast at lockedon49ers@gmail.com. Those are the best ways to get those mailbag questions in. And yes, Nick and I will be dipping into the mailbag. So let's bring on today's guest.
Nicholas Winkler, come on down.
Nicholas, how are you, sir?
Hey, buddy, how you doing?
I'm doing great, man. There's a lot of very disappointed and annoyed 49ers fans watching.
What are they disappointed with?
Here's the thing, is because so watching the L's is so much different than the idea of that there will be an L. So I think a lot of fans are torn in this weird place where they're like, I want the 49ers to lose every game, but it's so hard to watch them lose each game in real time.
Yeah, and the way they're losing too is it's brutal. You know, it's been a rough 4 years as 49er fans. We all know it. And it's been tough to, you know, and there was so much hope going into the season and this and that. But come on, we're in week 13, you're wrapping it up. I mean, we know what this team is at this point. I saw a great tweet. I wish I remember who it was from. But I'd love to give him credit, but it was something like, you know, 2017 49ers improve to 2-10. This year they fall to 2-10. Like, what a difference a season makes.
I didn't even think about that. Exact same record as last year at this time. Obviously the rest of the season goes very differently for the 2017 49ers than I think it will for the 2018 Niners.
Yeah. I think you're probably right about that. I mean, look at the remaining schedule. That first pick's almost a lock, man.
Yeah, so I think there's maybe one win left on the roster, depending on what happens in week 17.
Really? Which one?
It's just that week 17 if the Rams are, if the Rams have, say, a bye sewn up. But here's the good thing is that there's multiple good teams in the NFC. They might be playing for a bye. You know, it might be them and the Saints. Like, who's going to have a first-round bye? And if they're playing for that bye, rather than having it sewn up, then that could mean that they're going full bore with all the starters. And also, if you have a bye, do you want to sit your starters for two straight weeks and then maybe come out flat
in the
playoffs?
Yeah, it's one thing if you're banged up, right?
So maybe first half starters, then sit them. So I don't know. There's a lot of ways that could go. And the other question is, are the 49ers starters better than the Rams backups?
We'll probably find out in a couple weeks.
And that's like, I'm not trying to pile on the 49ers, but they're playing backups basically in a lot of very key spots. Yeah. So,
no, you're right. And there's a lot more injuries this week. You know, a couple more guys limping off the field, and you know, it's just kind of the way it's been all year long. You know, we don't have to get too deep into that Seattle game. We all saw it. We all watched it. I took a couple notes, a couple things I wanted to touch on with you.
Yeah, let's hear it. It was I will say this: it was better than the Tampa game. I think more fun to watch. It was like it. It had a little bit more pizzazz. The Tampa game was just like the Reuben Foster stuff was like rolling into from Saturday night into Sunday morning. And it was like bad, ugly game, not fun. I think the Seattle game was a little bit more fun.
We knew going into Seattle, they were not going to win that football game. Mm-hmm. But, there was a point where it was pretty close there, you know, at the start of the third quarter. The 49ers started to climb back in it, and then it was just like, oh, no, wait, this is how the season's been going right here. But a couple notes, I heard you talk about the quick recap, the rapid react. Jeff Wilson, man. I mean, you said it. You were kind of tiptoeing around it, and I was like, oh, he's not gonna say it. I'm gonna get to say it, and no.
Oh, good. Are you gonna hot take me right now? Hold on, let me make sure I'm comfortable in my seat. Okay.
No, you nailed it. Yeah, I thought you weren't gonna do it. He runs angry.
Yes.
He every time he gets the ball, he's straight ahead. Like he's going for it. He's trying to get those yards. But at the same time, like on one of the screen passes I watched, he was patient. He let his blockers get out in front of him, and then he's explosive. He just wants to get to that first down marker, and it was really fun. It was really, really good to watch. And then he limps off. You're like, oh, great. And then Breida comes back out, and then he limps off. You're like, yeah, that's about right.
That's 2018 49ers football right there, limping off the field.
Yeah.
I would equate Jeffrey Wilson's style to sort of a video game style where, you know, in some video games where you have like a power meter, Mm-hmm. So like in every run, like you get your power meter up and you get to use one thing. You know, you can do a you can do like a truck move, or you can make one juke or something like that. Like he has one move per run. It's like, okay, whenever I make my move, that's it, and the rest is just I'm going in a straight line. And so he kind of runs like that, where he'll just have this one explosive movement in his run, whether it's to try to get away from a defender or just head downhill and truck people. And I like that style. Whatever, it's a little bit weird. It looks different than what the 49ers have been running out there, as I think maybe why I like it. It's a little different.
That's exactly what it is. It's just something different. It looks different coming out of the backfield. And you know, Morris looks so slow all season. Breida looked explosive, but he's so small, you know, and limps off all the time. And it took me a while to kind of watching Jeff Wilson to be like, he reminds me of someone. Who is it? And I think it's kind of like, maybe I'm alone here, but he kind of reminds me of Eddie George. Like he's taller and lengthy and just kind of gets down, lowers his head and just plows forward. I felt like that was an Eddie George trait.
Yeah, he's definitely got a taller style, and I think he's right at 6 feet, so he's not quite...
Maybe Rob Smith, was that his name, the guy on the Vikings?
Robert Smith, kind of reminds
me of him a little bit.
Yeah, I could see that with that gait, the way he kind of ran upright, and I could definitely see that. Yeah, definitely a taller running back, and he brings some heat. I like it. I like Jeffrey Wilson as just, you know, obviously I'm not trying to say he's going to be the starter of the future for the 49ers, but they, you know, this is one of those things that you find at this point in the season where the 49ers are at. You're like, okay, good. Jeffrey Wilson, I like it. If he's your third running back, I'm okay with that. If, you know, Dante Pettis starts to explode down the stretch, you're like, yes, okay. Seeing him shake guys, seeing him make plays after the catch, make long, quick strikes, which the 49ers have not been able to do. When they did score, it's been very methodical and floating down the field with maybe the exception of a few big Matt Breida runs and a couple of, there's basically like 270-yard. In fact, the two biggest plays for the 49ers this year, right, have been George Kittle 70-yard catches until the Dante Pettis play.
And the best thing about the Pettis thing too is it's building some great confidence. You know, he knows that he can hang in this league, because that's a pretty good Seattle defense that he, you know, he had a great day against, and that's back to back games also. And so, yeah, going forward, this could just do so much for him heading into next season.
Absolutely. Confidence is so big. That's the number one thing I took away from the game from Akella Witherspoon, too. And maybe it's
you were right.
Maybe it's people, you know, getting on him. Maybe he's hearing the noise and he's like, yeah, you're right. Okay, I got to get back to that mindset and I got to earn every snap. And it's not like, okay, I'm pretty good now, so let's coast. It's like, you got to compete every snap in the NFL. And that's what makes the great players great. And it's what makes some of the great players weird, you know? Like, that's why like, 49ers fans hated Richard Sherman. That competitive nature, it's like, it's always. We saw, like, Jim Harbaugh. That guy wants to win every press conference. He wants to win every handshake. He wants to win every down in a football game, right? And so Terrell Owens, the same way. That's what makes some great players weird. Like, Michael Jordan, Tom Brady seems a little awkward, I think, in public. Terrell Owens, it's like, those guys don't have... I would be... not shocked if those guys basically like are at home and lonely and don't have a single real friend, because
they're like looking in the mirror and they're like, you're good enough.
Yeah.
You're smart enough.
Like Terrell Owens is just
the best football player that ever lived.
Yeah. Terrell Owens is at home with zero friends, just doing push-ups in a mirror every night. Like that's his life. It's just like the driven for one thing and one thing only. It's what makes you great. So like all the people I know that are my best friends would be terrible athletes because they don't have the drive, they don't have that, but they're fun to hang around with, you know. And so
that's always my biggest flaw,
right?
I was too nice, man.
You're too great of a guy. I like being around you.
No chip on my shoulder.
Yeah, the chip on the shoulder, that's it.
Yeah it's important, and these guys have it. And you're totally right. Speaking of which, I mean, man, how good is Bobby Wagner? I wrote that early on in the game. I put Bobby Wagner's good at football, and then he just kept making big plays all game. I was like, damn.
No, he's like a freak athlete, and then has the head on top of his shoulders to go with it, and developed that part of his game as he's been in the NFL. So even as he maybe starts to decline athletically later in his career, he's just a smart player, perfectly built for what they do. Great, you know, great against the run, great against the pass, and he's just an awesome player and a huge part of why that defense is still really good.
Yeah, you're totally right. And wasn't it cool to see Trent Taylor? Just felt like we haven't really seen him at all this year.
Yeah, and I would like, you know, I would almost want him to be shut down because he's dealing with that back injury.
Right.
And unless it's a thing where it's like, okay, he hurt his back and this is the new Trent Taylor forever, then that's what it is. But he definitely hadn't moved earlier this year. And even in this game, he made a couple plays, but he doesn't have the quicks that he was showing last year, I don't think. And so maybe an offseason and being healthy fully coming into next year, he'll look a lot better, more like he did as a rookie also. But it was nice to see him out there and make a couple plays. He's one of those guys, and you see it with, and this is the Shanahan. This is why Shanahan likes the receivers he likes. And it was on full display, I think, on Sunday with Dante Pettis. That shake he had on not the 75-yard touchdown, but the other one. Mm-hmm. Just like he's got these moves, like a point guard with a crossover. It's this thing he has. It's like weird. You have to rewind and watch him do it twice to see what he did. You know, it's like a three-step quick thing, and he can ditch guys, and he's so flexible, and then, you know, can work his way around the block. Not many guys could do that, where they could make a move, juke a guy, then still get around the block, get around the corner, and stay in bounds. And so that's awesome to see him do that. Trent Taylor, same way. It's like, you can't cover him on a slant. He's too quick.
Right, right. It's all about the footwork, too, right. And just being in the right position. And, yeah, it was cool, too. You played the clip from Dante Pettis, and he was talking about how he was running that deep route and how both him and Nick Mullins made the adjustment. Right. That was so cool to hear.
I love hearing that. And it's also funny because the first thing I thought was, I wonder what Shanahan thought.
Yeah, I know. You're like, was he mad? Was he pissed off?
He's mad until it worked, I bet.
Bet. Speaking of Shanahan, man, his little outburst on the sideline, all game too. Like, he was fired up. He wanted to win so bad. You know, it kills him to lose. And you can see it in his face. You can hear it in his press conferences. And I love Kyle Shanahan. I will roll with Kyle Shanahan no matter what. Like, I'm not putting any of these losses on Kyle Shanahan. I love him as a leader. I love him as the leader of this football team. And, you know, let's be honest, like, Robert Saleh called a pretty good game. You know, most of the time it wasn't, you know, it was like Malcolm Swift is just getting beat. It was matchups, you know, this and that. But I mean, the defense isn't that bad. I know I was all on Saleh last week and I was really calling for his job and saying like, he's not going to make it out of here. But you know, you look at the overall numbers and you look at the things he's done, and he doesn't have the most talent. You know, when you don't have an edge rusher, it's going to really, really hurt your secondary. And that's where the biggest problem has been for this football team. And I don't know. I'm taking a step back from my get rid of Saleh talk.
Ooh, okay, hold on. We got to take a break, but I want to talk more about that. More Locked On 49ers is right after this. But I'm excited to tell everyone about the newest sponsor of the Locked On Podcast Network, Action Heat. Action Heat makes the world's best battery-heated clothing. Heat on demand at the touch of a button. Control your environment with Action Heat. Action Heat clothing is engineered to safely and efficiently deliver heat via heating panels similar to heated car seats. They can reach temperatures of up to 135 degrees and are powered by rechargeable 5-volt lithium-ion battery that lasts up to 12 hours on each charge. So Action Heat batteries can also be used to recharge your phone or any other gadget, which is pretty amazing, the technology we live in these days. And obviously, getting very cold outside, wintertime, this is the perfect gift for any friend or family on your holiday gift list. Great for anyone who works outdoors, skiers, snowboarders, or anybody that loves the outdoors or hates being cold. Heated jackets, socks, gloves, hats, and even undergarments like heated base layer shirts and long johns, so you can stay warm and cozy from head to toe. Action Heat is available in men's and women's and has great new styles and models just released for this winter season. So get some heated products that fit everyone's budget starting at just $39.99. We've got a special deal for our listeners. 20% off your entire order. Just go to actionheat.com/lockedon. To check out everything Action Heat has to offer. Again, that's actionheat.com/lockedon, or you can just go to actionheat.com and use coupon code locked on at checkout to save that 20%. So stay toasty warm while you enjoy all your outdoor activities this winter with Action Heat, and we thank them for sponsoring this podcast. Okay, so the Robert Saleh stuff, that's going to be one of the main topics of conversation. It already has been for half of this season once the 49ers went in the tank. And the defense has obviously been up and down. We've seen a lot of miscommunications and stuff. And a lot of 49ers fans are calling for his head. You last week are... So it sounds like you're sort of backing off that. So I think we need to talk about that a little bit. So would you put yourself... Because a lot of people are like, Robert Saleh's got to go. And then some people are like, I'm not sure. Let's get him what he needs. Let's get him all the weapons he needs on defense and then make that decision this time next year.
Yeah, that's where I'm leaning this time. Yeah. Okay. Before it was, I think it was just more, I was just mad. You know, I was just really hurt. And they come off a pretty bad loss and it's to Tampa Bay. And I was like, God, this is horrible. We got to blame somebody for it. Saleh, that's an easy out. But it's just, you know, they're not the best, you know, they're giving up a lot of points, but they're not giving up a ton of yards. And I don't know, their rush defense is pretty solid. They're just not getting any pressure on the quarterback. Like, if you come out and you get that number one draft pick, you go out, you get Nick Bosa, and you can actually have somebody that the defenses have to scheme for, that they worry about. And then you look at what DeForest Buckner's doing right now, and you got that guy inside, and you got Bosa rushing from the outside. That's going to give offensive coordinators headaches, and that's going to definitely have to quicken up the play calling and quicken up the quarterback's mind. And so he's might not make, you know, right now I feel like he's standing in the pocket. He's got all day. Every quarterback we see is like, oh, another 4 seconds in the pocket. Cool. And then he picks apart, you know, our nickel corner, or, you know, our Jimmy Ward, who's decided what position he's playing that day. I don't know, but he's up there and he's getting picked on and this and that. And I don't know. Witherspoon looked good this week. Richard Sherman's been looking good every week. I'm gonna hit pause on the fire at Robert Saleh talk, because he doesn't have the best people. We've all addressed it in the offseason. Biggest need on this football team, edge rusher, and they did not address it. And they knew it, and I'm sure they did, and they didn't want to reach for a guy, which, you know, you can understand that as well, and nobody's available in free agency. So you go into next season, you got that number one pick, or even, you know, if it drops to number two and you can get another guy that you really like out there and somebody who can actually apply pressure, you got to do it, and you got to give this guy one more chance.
You mentioned something that was interesting, and it's one thing that I've kind of trying to been to really put into words in my head about Robert Saleh that it makes me uneasy, and it's that he's almost, because you talked about how much you loved seeing Kyle Shanahan get mad on the sideline.
Right, okay.
I kind of like that. Robert Saleh is not, and Robert Saleh might be the first defensive coordinator I've ever seen that you've never had to calm down, and in fact that you'd be like, where's the fire? Because it's weird, because he's so calm and he's so collected, and he's very straightforward in press conferences, where it's one of the things that worries me a little bit is that the first press conference he had in 2017 after he was hired, and whatever he said this week leading up to the Seahawks game, they might as well have been the same press conference, right? It's basically he's gonna say, this guy, you know, our player's really good, I like how fast this guy is. We're going to play fast. We're going to play violent. And it's like, okay.
Right.
Like, do you have another layer? Like, well, let's see you get mad on the sideline. Let's see you rip somebody. Let's see, you know, I don't know. It's just like there's that one thing. And it's not even a knock necessarily. It's just that he's very different in his demeanor, I think, than a lot of defensive coaches around the league. It's rare to see a guy. Every time they show him, he's got his hands on his knees. He's leaned over. And he's locked in, and he looks focused. And when I see that, I'm like, okay, that guy looks like he's focused, and I would trust that man to call a play for me, you know? But at the same time, I wouldn't mind seeing some fire from him. I wouldn't mind hearing one of his press conferences sound a little different. Maybe change. Maybe that's part of it. Maybe he needs to change the message a little bit.
That being said, we've already got that from Kyle. You know, maybe we need that balance, and he likes that. He likes he's got this calm, cool, collected guy calling the other side of the ball when he could just be this, you know, spitfire on the offensive side. And he's, you know, he's the leader, and when you're the leader, you know, maybe you're like, I'm the only one that can act like this. I need everybody else acting cool and collected, you know, so that I don't lose my stuff, you know.
The one thing, and actually that'd be funny, I would love to see like what the defensive meetings are like. So Robert Saleh is like 5 minutes into the defensive meeting, he's like, all right, here's our new wrinkle to the cover three, and we're gonna do, and like in mid-sentence Kyle Shanahan walks in, kicks the door open, and just starts ripping somebody. That'd be for like the good cop, bad cop routine. That'd be really funny to see.
That would be amazing.
So here's my question with Robert Saleh. Let's say, okay, and that's completely fair. Give him some more weapons. Let's see what it looks like next year.
Sure.
If they're bad on defense and they're the same next year as they were this year, is it too late? It's like, gosh, we should have done something sooner. From a standpoint of, say, John Lynch and Kyle Shanahan, like, let's say you're in their head right now and you're thinking, okay, how do I not get fired? We have one scapegoat. We have one shot. That's to fire the defensive coordinator and hire a different guy. When do we use that trump card? When, like, the get out of jail free card, when do we use that? And I would say that it's kind of too soon right now, that next year might be the right time for that, because if they do that now and then they're bad next year, now it's like, okay, you changed your defensive coordinator already. Now what? Because you're going to control the offense.
Yeah, I feel like he doesn't have the weapons. I'm going to repeat myself again, because I feel like in this, you know, this defense scheme that he runs, you need an edge rusher. You need a middle linebacker that's kind of like, you know, that just patrols the middle of the field. Then you need that center fielder out there that just kind of doesn't let the top come off, you know, comes up and can hit somebody and that's and that. And they don't have any of those right now. I mean, Fred Warner's looking really good right now at middle linebacker, but they thought that was going to be Reuben Foster. That didn't work out. They've got no edge rush. Who's playing safety right now? Like, there's an undrafted rookie. You know, it's just like they don't have what they need to fulfill the scheme that he wants to run.
To counter that, and I don't disagree with you, but to counter that, I mean, the Seahawks do have a better pass rush.
Sure.
They've got a great middle linebacker, but the 49ers thought that they're pretty... I mean, the 49ers' weakness isn't middle linebacker right now.
No.
And when Reuben Foster was there, you thought, okay, this is a great young tandem. So that's not really the problem with the 49ers' defense. But they don't have Earl Thomas out there. They don't have Richard Sherman out there anymore. 49ers, in fact, have Richard Sherman. So it's not like they have the Legion of Boom talent on the field like they used to. So they don't even have quite the talent. And to see that defense playing better, is it just time? Is everybody on the same page? Is that the biggest difference? Because I don't think the talent is such a massive gap between what the Seahawks have right now and what the 49ers have right now to have a massive difference in confidence in which unit is better.
Yeah, no, that's a good point. It's just, I think it all comes down to pass rush. If you can't get to that quarterback, and you said something too yesterday, you talked about the amazing stat of only 5 takeaways. I mean, that's huge.
Yeah.
And a lot of luck does go into that. And if you don't get turnovers, your defense is going to be on the field a lot more than if you were to get, you know, even 5 more turnovers, even if you doubled it and got to 10, which is probably what the league average is right now. I don't even honestly know, but we literally have 22 giveaways and 5 takeaways. Like, that's not good.
Right. No. And I think that stat too, is there's a ton of luck. And then there's a ton of, like, if you're not affecting the quarterback, where the picks and where the fumble is going to come from.
Yeah, no, you're exactly. And that all comes down to pass rush to me. I still think that is the glaring weakness on this football team, is a lack of an edge rusher. And we said it all last year, and we've been saying it all year again this year. And just hopefully they can address it in the offseason, because I don't want to go through another year of this, man.
I'm with you. Just to close the door here on the Robert Saleh thing for me, and I don't think my opinion will change as quickly as yours did. Flip-flopping over there.
Dude, I'm Mr. Waffle.
Yeah. Do you want some maple syrup with your waffle, Winkler?
Love maple syrup. Sugar.
I would say if the right guy becomes available that you're like, we need this defensive coordinator, he's too good to pass right now, if that guy's available this offseason, then you have to make the move. Otherwise, you're not just like, okay, let's fire him and see what's out there.
Yeah. They got to have a plan in place before you move forward. You know, you came into this with a 6-year plan, I'm sure, and this wasn't the plan.
Okay. I totally agree with that. With that, that's a perfect segue, because we have specific names in the mailbag about defensive coordinator. So let's get to that mailbag.
Sounds good.
All right, let's start it off with Brett then, because he says, are we interested in Dan Quinn if the Falcons let him go? So
yes.
The Falcons, who are like 4-8 now, right? Or something.
Yeah, it's not good. They looked horrible on Sunday.
And they're falling apart. And I would be surprised still, but man, they might have, Arthur Blank probably is pretty pissed off about how that team's performing. So maybe he does make a change. Maybe he fires that coaching staff. Dan Quinn and Kyle Shanahan made Super Bowl music together. So I would imagine that Dan Quinn would go to the very, very top of that list, but at the same time, he might get some other head coach offers, even if he does get fired. But if you're the Falcons, you're probably going to be like, all right, well, you went to a Super Bowl. Let's find a new offensive coordinator, because that's the only thing that's changed since then.
Yeah. I mean, if it did become available, obviously that's something you got to look at, you know, and you definitely, you know, you go fishing a little bit there and you see if he's at all interested. And you try not to let Saleh hear, just in case he doesn't want to come to San Francisco or he goes somewhere else. You don't want to, you know, when you got that girlfriend, you don't want to be looking at other girls and trying, you know, and then she finds out about it. No, it's never a good thing. So you definitely, you want to make sure that if it does become available and that's the guy you want, you got to know that if you go after him, you're probably going to lose your guy, you know?
Right. Mm-hmm. Yeah. You have to know you're going to get him first. And
I would be definitely interested in that. Cause again, I'm not totally on board with the keeping Robert Saleh thing. I'm just pumping the brakes on firing him.
Okay. I like it.
Just to be clear, on my waffle.
Where you're
like
at.
Like a half waffle.
This is like when you're at the waffle machine, you know, in the Continental Breakfast where they have the waffle machine that spins at the top so you can flip it over?
Yeah.
You have to flip it over at the right time. You don't want to burn it on the one side, but you also don't want to do it too soon and have a soggy waffle in the middle.
No, you're totally right. And right now I just flipped it over, but I'm not going to open it yet.
Okay, perfect. Yeah, like, and you don't want to start peeking. That'll ruin everything if you peek too early.
Yeah, I'm not going
to
do that.
All right, let's go to an email. This is from Jeffrey. The email title is Beer Me Strength. He says, I love the podcast. Thank you very much, Jeffrey. And he's happily following throughout the season and off season. So he's not jumping off ship. He's still with us every day here talking Niners football. So I love it. Thank you very much.
Real fan.
Jeffrey. That's right. That's right. He said not to go full mark. Okay. So we're going to. All right. I see where this email's going. That's okay. You're still locked in, though. That's good. He says it's disappointing to watch the 49ers get beat in all three phases. There isn't one aspect of football that we can hang our hat on right now as a strength to identify of this football team. Sadly, since Shanahan challenged our team's resolve, few have responded positively. Our O-line is regressed, which is the biggest disappointment. In your opinion, what positions should be addressed via free agency and which should be addressed via the draft? Let me address one thing here. I'll let you talk about positions in free agency versus the draft. Okay. I will talk about the offensive line, which I will say that was their worst performance pass blocking against the Seahawks. And they've kind of been a little bit better run blocking than pass blocking this year, but they haven't been bad pass blocking. So it was disappointing to see them take a little step back against Seattle, but one bad game. It's not like, I don't think you can take any big ideas away from that and really just say that they've regressed and the offensive line sucks again. That I don't think you can take that away from a bad game pass blocking. Yes. But I don't really view offensive line as a problem.
No, I don't either. And that, I mean, especially the left side of the line did not look good to me in that Seattle game, which is, you know, something we have not said very often since Joe Staley has been on this football team. So yeah, that was rough to watch. And if I'm looking at draft versus free agency, I mean, clearly you can't go out and get an edge rusher in free agency. Guys like that just don't become available. So that is something you got to get in the draft. But when it comes to free agency, I think that you got to look on the defensive side of the ball. And I think you got to start with safety. And then you even bring in a veteran linebacker to play next to Fred Warner. You know, you get a guy in there that can, you know, kind of be his, because they want Warner to be the future of this football team. He's wearing that green dot for a reason. And you bring in another guy that can play right next to him and just really solidify the middle of the field. I think that's the way to go. I also wouldn't be opposed to bringing in another wide receiver, you know, maybe somebody else that can stretch the field, because I mean, let's be honest, is Pierre Garçon going to be back again next year? It would surprise me.
Absolutely. And it's been a bummer that Marquise Goodwin has been out. And so you worry that maybe this is something that could be an extended thing for him. I don't know. Right. Unfortunately he's going through something, but, I totally agree there. You got to add all of those things. And I think you look at free agency for need usually, and you go to draft for best player available. If you have the number one overall pick, you can know who that player is going to be before you sign a bunch of free agents. So that's an advantage to have, especially if the needs meet up in the draft and that player that you're going to take in the draft, his position isn't available in free agency. That really helps, that need meets value there. And I think it will for the 49ers if they have the number one pick, it looks like. So, in free agency, ideally you're knocking off those needs. You're like, okay, we feel good about our starters now. Free agency is over, done. Now let's draft the best talent possible to develop for the future so we don't have holes in the future. Because, and you notice, like, say, actually, let's take the Raiders. Perfect example. The best player available when they were drafting was Derwin James, and he looks like an all-pro safety as a rookie right now. But instead, they drafted for need and took an offensive tackle who, you know, jury's still out. He's had some injuries and looked bad, but played okay at other times. It's like maybe he'll end up being good. But you don't want to pass on an all-pro player in the draft because you have this need and you draft some average dude or some guy who's terrible at that position. That's the other thing is you don't want to pass on good players in the draft because of need. You want to draft best player available, ideally always, even though that's definitely not what always happens in the NFL. And you want to attack free agency to plug all the holes before that.
Yep.
Let's see. Oh, by the way, speaking of coaches and shots of them on the sideline, they show Ken Norton 30 times in the game, and he's just super excited because every blitz he dials up works. Everything's perfect. It's like, what the hell, man? That's one thing I think that Robert Saleh could take away is, like, whatever the blitz schemes were and the timing of those blitzes and whatever it was worked against the 49ers, confused them, and they were getting home on those. And the 49ers haven't had that luck, not only with their front seven and especially the edge guys consistently getting pressure, aside from, you know, pretty much Buckner's the only guy that's been consistent in getting pressure every game for the 49ers, but the blitzes they're dialing up haven't worked and gotten home quickly enough. They've been okay with that, but then, you know, covering on the back end behind the blitzes haven't been good. So just the whole thing is just whatever it is not working well together. And so that was another frustrating thing. Every time they show Ken Norton, he's like, yep, great job. We just did an awesome thing.
Hey, Robert Saleh, if you're still listening, if you haven't tuned out yet, I got some advice for you. Go look at the game tape against the Seattle Seahawks and do what Seattle did. You're welcome.
We just lost Robert Saleh from the program.
That was it?
Yeah. He's not going to put up with that.
I waffled for him.
Yeah, you did. He was probably pretty stoked. He probably shed a tear. He's like,
finally, I got Nick on board.
I won wink back over. Oh, by the way, so speaking of what we'll name the show from now on, I talked about on Twitter how people always talked about punching in the mouth. Like, we got punched in the mouth, and it's like, come on, that doesn't have any meaning anymore. Let's say something else. Let's use a different cliche, because then I'll believe you, right? And I brought up the idea of getting kicked in the dick.
It's not a good thing.
No. And one of the listeners was like, dude, that's a perfect name for this segment. Instead of Twinkie Tuesday or Weekly Wink, how about Kicked in the Nick?
Dude, I like it.
I love
Kicked in the Nick.
I think that his was a little bit different, but I think I want to shorten it up. Kicked in the Nick, I think, is a great way. So I think this episode, Kicked in the Nick, brought to you by...
And speaking of which, man, if they get Nick Bosa, they're going to have two BDNs on that team. I love it.
Right. Oh, that's a great call.
Yeah.
Very good call. Do we have time for another mailbag question?
Let's do one quick.
Okay. Got to pick the right one here.
Yeah, we can't end on, you know, talking about BDN.
Yeah, no, we cannot. We've got class. We're winning with class on the program.
That's how we've been doing it since day one.
All right, here we go. Let's go to you, Zach. We're harping on the defense, whatever. Zach says... Niners have been solid against the run for most of the season, but Seattle ran all over us Sunday. It was also the most snaps we've seen Solly play inside all year. Is that a coincidence, or was he a liability in run defense this past week?
Ah, that's a good call. I mean, where is Solomon Thomas going to play football on this team? Where is his spot? Does he have one?
And I talked about it. He was in coverage on one of those goal line plays.
Yeah, what the hell was that? Plays.
Which we've seen a lot, and I always get annoyed when I see a guy, because he's only going to be able to cover a small patch of grass directly behind where he was lined up. And
right.
Not many
right. balls. If there's more than 3 seconds of coverage, he's beat.
Yeah, and not many balls are completed there. I think they would just be much more valuable to have that person putting pressure on the quarterback. But I understand trying to confuse quarterbacks and generate some things and dialing things up. But, yeah, I don't think he's ideally suited. I mean, it's so weird because they're like, okay, we want to play him outside all the time. It's like, okay, we want to play him inside all the time. It's like, no, that's wrong. Play him outside against the run. Play him inside on obvious long and late passing downs. It's so clear and so obvious. Quit doing anything else. Like, he's 275 pounds. Don't put him in there at nose tackle. He's maybe more like 280 now. And like, he can play inside some. I got no problem there. He's a strong and he's a good run defender. But he's fine as an end, but the problem is they just have Eric Armstead playing in the position that Solomon Thomas should be in, and they don't want to move on from Armstead, and Armstead's playing pretty well, to his credit, so I understand. But so now they have this number 3 overall pick who's redundant, basically, and I think eventually he will be doing what I just said he should be doing, and I think that's what they want him to do eventually. They just have too many guys that can already do that, so they're playing him out of position, and I think playing him inside all the time is also still out of position.
I think you nailed it right there. Solomon Thomas, redundant. Well said.
He's going to get better, though.
I hope so.
I like Solomon Thomas. I think he's going to get better. He's also been dealing with some off-field stuff that we have no idea how much that's affecting him. And I know it has to be affecting him at least some. And so maybe he'll rise above that and be better because of it. But he still has a lot of talent to work with. So jury's still out. Yeah, don't label him a bust. Let's wait till 2019, see what Solomon Thomas is. And I think he'll be utilized better. I think just everything's going to be better in 2019. Healthy quarterbacks, healthier running backs. The turnovers, balls are going to bounce to guys. They're going to catch interceptions. You know, it's just going to be one of those seasons where you'll be like, okay, things are just happening better this year than they did. Like, everything unlucky has happened to the 49ers this year. Reuben Foster is just like thing after thing.
And Solomon, if you can get better, dude, I will waffle so hard for you.
Like, you've heard of like a short stack, right?
Dude,
this stack
will be like 3 German waffles.
This will be the most massive stack of waffles you've ever seen in your
life. I'll even go Belgian, dude, if you want.
And then you can kick him in the nick. All right.
No, don't do that.
That's going to do it for this episode of Locked On 49ers. Thank you, Nick, as always, for joining the show.
My pleasure, bud.
Thanks, everybody, for listening. We will be back tomorrow with a little Wednesday crossover episode, Cody Rourke of Locked On Broncos, right here on Locked On 49ers.
See ya.